prayers for your children and their children's inheritance. St. John 17 and verse 21 or verse 20. You can come preach if you want. Okay. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and that's me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And Jesus, we thank you that you prayed for us. And Lord, may we learn the value of prayer this morning. In Christ's name, amen. I saw a program I didn't know existed, but flipping channels, I saw it was entitled Strange Inheritances. Anybody ever watch it? Or am I the only worldly person here? And it's a show where people have left an inheritance, and I guess it's unusual. But this one caught my attention because the scriptures do talk about leaving an inheritance. It was a story about a lawyer in a small town who received artwork for his services. Apparently the people didn't have the money to pay, but they gave him some artwork. And he dies and he leaves the artwork for his son in the will. And this son, who married a woman, ended up adopting a son from a foreign country. Later, when they wanted to send this one they adopted to college, they realized they would need no more money. And they decided to contact a professional art collector to find out how much this artwork that they had received in the will or the inheritance from his father. It was artwork from China, and they wanted to know what it was worth. Well, he had had it appraised years earlier, and it was about $10,000, or maybe a few thousand. But now, because the economy in China went up, and they found out that this piece of artwork actually was owned by one of their greatest emperors in the past. They didn't know that at the time. So now that it belonged to a famous emperor of the past, they put it up for auction, and no one bid on it until the last 5 minutes of the auction. It was up for 2 weeks, and they thought no one's going to buy it. But the last 5 minutes of the auction, it ended up two people bidding against each other. I guess that's their strategy. And it ended up selling for $250,000. So I'm going to go to every used store and see any kind of artwork I can find that looks like that. But I thought, wow, that got my attention. The Bible does say that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. We usually think of leaving money or valuables. I've heard ministers take this passage and say, well, you can leave a good name, and surely that is valuable. I remember my father, and although when he died, my mother, she is still living, but he left some tools. And I occasionally think of him when I use them. But I want to talk about leaving something very valuable that they will not use directly themselves, but someone will use it for them. And that is, you can leave prayers that God will have to work with when you're gone. And is it not true that we hear of someone that came to the Lord later in life, but they didn't come to the Lord when their mother and father was alive? Mom and Dad prayed for them, and they prayed earnestly, but they never got to enjoy and have the peace in their heart and satisfaction that they came to the Lord. They were grieved, no doubt, but they left something that would take care or could take care of that problem when they were gone. And that is, they left some serious intercessory prayers. And Paul was right when he said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out." In fact, that program, at the end of it, they said this, and apparently they say it in every showing of this program, Strange Inheritances. The last words they say is, "And remember, you can't take it with you." We've heard that before. And it is certain. You can't take it with you. But you can, and I want us to see from the Word of God, send some prayers up to the Lord that God will put in His vault and use them later. Do you know that God has a place where He stores things? We read in Psalms 58, verse 8, David said, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" We know God keeps a perfect record. He has a place for keeping our prayers. He has a place for our tears and knows them. You can't carry earthly treasures out of this world, but you can send up some prayers for your children and their children and so forth, and God will keep them and use them at a later time. You hear of wills when someone has left money to their loved ones or who wanted them to have what they had. And I mentioned in this story earlier. But the Bible does say a good man leaves an inheritance. And because the Bible doesn't place a lot of emphasis upon this world's goods, it does place great value upon what the Scriptures call true riches, about being rich in faith. And what are true riches? You can find that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, and talks about gold tried in the fire. But there are prayers that you can pray now that God will take and put in His vault that will be drawn upon later by God in His wisdom for your children and their children. We know well the Scripture that says, "Lay not up on earth treasures where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves break through and steal." Most times that's preached that give your money, give it to the Lord, and it is over there riches waiting for you. But I want to talk about giving something more valuable than money. And a prayer given now in faith, a prayer now given in earnestness, God will store, and nothing will be able to eat that prayer. Moth and rust will not eat that prayer. And I want to encourage you to lie up in heaven some prayers that when you are gone, you can, God can draw from them and God can use them on your loved ones that are left behind. It is certain we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. We know that in Egypt, the pharaohs thought they could take it with them. And we hear of these archaeological studies where pharaohs have died and in the tomb, if the grave robbers haven't gotten there ahead of anyone else, they took the gold and the other riches they had left behind. But yet there is something they have found that they've left. They thought they'd wake up into the next world and this would be with them. But oh, how wrong they were. They should have read their Bible. But one thing they did leave, and is they've left some seed. And they have found that some of this seed when planted, is still can produce a great crop. I understand, I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago, some corn seed that they left became one of the richest that farmers have used today. But likewise, you can leave something that, if I could use that as an analogy, that after you're gone, or better said, you can send on some true riches, some prayers in faith, some prayers that have been led by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit guides our prayers and leads us when we pray. And this intercessory prayer, and I can speak of a certainty, we are certain that some prayers that you pray now will not be answered in your lifetime. That is not a lack of faith, that is just biblically speaking. I want to say it again. There are some prayers that you pray now will not be answered in your lifetime. And Jesus is our great example. And let me show you where Jesus prayed for many that had not yet been born, and let alone born again. But it's found in our text in St. John 17:9, and Jesus is praying. And here's what he says. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. That was those at the time, presently. But verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Yes, we know that Jesus prayed for Peter, that he would not be overcome by the world or the flesh and the devil, when he said, Peter, I have prayed for thee, for Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And then he went on and said, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy prayer. That prayer was answered. But then in verse 21, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, folks. We are those that have believed, and when he said shall believe, it means it hasn't happened yet. But I'm going to pray for them now so that when I'm gone, these prayers will still be there for God to have to be able to answer. And much of the reason for your salvation is because Jesus prayed for you. Aren't you glad Jesus prayed for you? I shudder to think, what if he hadn't prayed for us? Because God doesn't do a lot of things except it be by prayer. I've often said that God never did anything without the Holy Spirit, and that's true. But I also want to say that God doesn't do a lot of things except by prayer. And are you as well praying for your loved ones so that when you likewise are gone, the Father will have something to work with? Leaving some money won't save them. Leaving some prayers and faith will affect them greater than anything else. How often I have heard, and maybe you have too, someone comes to the Lord, but their mother and father have died before that happened. And I've heard them say, I wish my mother or father could see me now serving the Lord, because when they were living, I didn't live for the Lord, and now they're gone. But thank God their prayers, they got a hold of me. Their prayers caught up with me. How many know you can't outrun those prayers? And we hear with joy, I had a praying mother, or I had a praying father, or I had a praying grandmother, or I had a praying grandfather. And over, we know in God's word, that's why, because prayer is so important, he invites us to pray. He invites us to pray over and over from Genesis to Revelation. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I can't think of anything greater than salvation. I can't think of anything greater than knowing the Lord and being filled with his Holy Spirit. But he says, call upon me. Come, come, and I'll show you something. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But we must ask in confidence, because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, if there's anything that can stir my diligence, it's my loved ones and yours too. And yes, we must pray with expectation of receiving what we prayed for. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you'll have them. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith without wavering, for he who wavers is like a wave of the sea and is tossed with the wind. And then may we remember as we pray Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. He's talking about prayer. Or think according to the power that worketh in us. One pastor would say, him able. I've heard it said, all we can do now is pray. What do you mean all we can do now is pray? You should have been praying at the very beginning. Prayer is not something you do at the very end. How often I've heard doctors or others will say, well, the only thing we can do now is pray. No, you should have prayed at the beginning and prayed in the middle and prayed in the end and always in prayer. But that should have been something done beforehand. It should have been the first thing you did, the second thing you did, the third thing you did, the fourth thing you did. I could finish the sermon by counting to 100, but I'll spare you. God is in heaven listening for our cry. Psalms 34:17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Abraham had a son, not Isaac. I'm talking about Ishmael. But God, in his wisdom, had to tell Abraham, you've got to tell Ishmael goodbye. He was fighting with Isaac, and Sarah had a problem with it, and she went to Abram, and Abram went to prayer, what am I going to do? And God said, you got to tell Ishmael he's got to go. Yes, it had prophetic implications, but let's not forget the human implications. And Abram knowing that when I say goodbye to him, it'll be the last time I see him. He loved Ishmael. He was his father. And in Genesis 17:18, Abram said unto him, O God, that Ishmael might live before thee. You know what he was saying? I want Ishmael to be saved. I want him to know you. And I want your blessings upon his life. And I don't want to have to say goodbye, but I'm saying goodbye. But Lord, I need some assurance that you're going to be with him, because I'll probably never see him again. And God, in his wisdom and his compassion, said in verse 20, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. And behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful. And often in the same way, because of circumstances out of our control, we also at times pray for loved ones. Sometimes it may be like Abraham, you're seeing them for the last time. I remember pastoring in the north when my mother and father lived I was in Eugene, and my mother and father were living in Sonora. And my mother said, your father's not doing well. You need to come see him. I drove down, and I remember seeing my father in the hospital. I knew this will be the last time I'm going to see my father. And I remember saying to my father, oh, Dad, I love you. And I remember my father saying, "Oh, son, I love you." I remember hugging him and weeping and him weeping over me. And I remember walking out that day knowing I had to go home. I knew I wouldn't see him again in this life. And yet, sometimes we have to say goodbye. May we know that God shapes the world by prayer. He doesn't do anything without the Holy Spirit. That's why I hate these microphones here, because you can't blow your nose without it going throughout a whole world. God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying in the world, the better the world would be. And a man is often what he is because of the prayers of a past loved one that were directed at him. A man can live holier because of the prayers of the past. A man can live with the blessings of God because someone in the past prayed for him. Oh, do we really realize the importance of real Holy Ghost-inspired prayer? In Genesis 20, we read of Abraham journeys in a land that is ruled by a king that he didn't know. And because Abram had a beautiful wife, he was afraid that the king and the culture of that time would send out his servants to find the beautiful women and bring them. They may be part of his harem and etc. And Abraham didn't have the courage when the people came by to say that she's my wife, fearing that they would maybe kill Abraham or Abram at that time. But rather he said, to save his own hide, "She's my sister." We say shame on him. Abimelech took Sarah, and the Bible says that God smote Abimelech by causing the women so they could not bear children. Now, if you think about that, how long had Sarah been there for the women to realize in the land nobody's getting pregnant? I don't think that she was there just one day. For the women to be conscious that nobody's getting pregnant tells me, and I could be wrong, but, and you know how I hate to be wrong, but I could be wrong, but I think that they were there, she was there a little bit longer. Having said that, God let him know that you better not touch her, and he calls Abraham in, and here's what the Bible says, that God said, you have to get Abraham to pray for you. Well, how come God just doesn't sovereignly do it himself? Because God in his wisdom has chosen that he will operate through us when we pray. So it said, Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare him children. Do we see that? Children were only born because Abraham prayed. And may I say, there's a more important birth than your first birth, and that's to be born again. But people likewise are not going to be born again until men like Abraham and women like Rebecca and all others, I could say, also pray. How many know you can pray people into the kingdom? They may or not be saved in your lifetime, but you must leave some prayer behind for God to work with. Oh, the power of prayer. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Moses took his prayer to have Miriam to be prayed or to be healed. She got lippy and so did Aaron with Moses, but God just didn't heal Miriam. He said, Moses, you're going to have to pray for her. And he did. Jonah was in a terrible condition when they cast lots overboard, and there went Jonah. They found out who the one was, but the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. But we read, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited up Jonah on dry ground. Pharaoh was a firm believer in the power of prayer. and its ability to relieve. Because when he and his people were staggering under the curses that his own rebellion brought on him, he pleaded to Moses, pray. Pray, Moses, that this which is happening will be relieved. And four times we read, he said to Moses, entreat your God for me. Yes, even people that are not living, for God knows the power of prayer. When the rebellion and idolatry of Israel is making a golden calf, and Aaron did what the people asked, God's anger got hot and he declared that he was going to destroy these people that so offended him. And God was angry with Aaron and the people and said to Moses, leave me alone that I may destroy them. But Moses prayed and he kept praying. He prayed night and day for 40 days. And Moses makes a record of his praying. He falls down before God and before the Lord. And he says, before the Lord at the first 40 days and nights, I didn't eat bread or drink water because your sins, which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. But the Lord turned his anger away because Moses prayed. We see also 40 days I will destroy Nineveh. But Nineveh prayed in sackcloth and ashes. And God repented of what he thought he would be doing. The message to Hezekiah, and let me begin to wrap this up, was, Hezekiah, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah turns and faces the wall in his bed and he prayed. He wept and he prayed and he prayed and he wept. And God said, Isaiah, you just told him this. You go back because I heard him pray and I'm going to let him live. I want you to know that prayer changes things. And if we realized it, we'd be praying more than we do. So Abram prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and maidenservants, and they bare their children. Moses prayed, and a nation was saved. Ezra prayed, and a church was saved. You would think after seeing God answers prayer that the church would keep on praying. But the church often quits praying. The great grip that people hold and have with God, they begin to lose the grip. And there begins to be a slackness in prayer. In Jesus' day, that slackness became so overwhelming, they lost the art of true praying. And it opened the door for false kinds of prayers. When there's not real prayer, then something's going to take its place. And it was hypocritical praying. It was the Pharisees praying. And praying had been turned into a sham. And prayer had been turned into only to be seen of men and make long pretense, etc. And cold, lifeless praying became the substitute for genuine, heart-wrenching prayer before God. And formality took the place of heart-wrenching praying. There's no more fire upon the altar, but now there's a formality on the altar. I want you to know that casual prayers don't bring the fire of God down. Cold, lifeless prayers don't have the fire come down and consume them. Martin Luther, when once asked what his plans for the following day was, he answered, work and work from early until late. He said, in fact, I have so much work that I have to do, I'm going to have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. It is only when the heart is gripped with the passion of prayer that the life-giving fire descends. It's the fervent prayers of a righteous man that availeth much. And man is looking for better methods, but God's looking for better men. Men that know how to pray. Leave your children, your loved ones, your grandchildren, prayers that will follow you when you're gone. Sister Debbie, would you come? Sister Coulter, the wife of Brother Coulter over in Palo Alto, I know this personally. She's been in and out of the hospital for the last month. They rushed her, heart problems, and trying to find what was wrong. Brother Glenn told me there was a woman they had heard of who was a doctor. She worked for Stanford, high up in the medical field, but she felt the Lord to cause her to leave that, but to heal the people in a different way. She's not opposed to medicine. And so she began to have a ministry of praying for the sick. I'm hoping to get her because what she stands for. Brother Glenn told me just day before yesterday, he said, "Do you know that woman met with my wife? Had my wife sit in a chair and for 3 hours, 3 hours, she prayed. She prayed. With her medical background and medical knowledge, she thought of every body part that might be or connected to it as she's trying to let the Holy Spirit lead her. And after 3 hours of praying, Sister Coulter's just sitting there, I'm sure praying with her. When she went up and laid hands on her, and Sister Coulter said she felt an explosion go off and felt the power of God hit her, and said, Brother Connor, she's been well for the last month. She's back to work. How many know prayer works? Prayer works. Let's stand. But what is even greater than praying for the sick? Oh God, I pray. I realize as I'm pastoring our congregation, we're getting older. And if there's anything I want to leave and I want you to leave, I want your kids and grandkids to come to God, and I pray they do. But I've been in this long enough to know sometimes that just doesn't happen. Is there anything I can do, Pastor? Yes, you can pray. You can pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh God, may our hearts be stirred to pray. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You're not looking for a greater method. You're looking for better men. Men that will pray. Even the world knows. Even the Pharaohs call on the Moseses to pray. Oh God, give us people of prayer. Give us people of prayer. So sad, Lord, that prayer meetings are so poorly attended. We love preaching, we love teaching, and we love fellowship, and those things are rightfully so. But the strength of the church is the prayers. Oh God, help us to pray. Let's come find a place to pray, shall we? And not be hearers of the word of God only, but doers. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Thank you. I don't want you to stop praying. I forgot to make this announcement. Tonight will be very special, and I encourage you to come. I was in my office and cleaning things up and looked in the back room, and I came across a little cassette. It was a recording of a fellowship meeting in 1979 in this church. Brother Watson is pastoring. He's on the platform, and Brother Corin, I don't know if I say it right, Brother Corin was speaking. And during the sermon, you can hear somebody said something, and he said, "Who's that?" And they said, "That's Sister Little." Later on, he mentions Brother Little. It was a very touching message. I want you to hear it. And I want you to hear the spirit of the place. And then he mentions Don Dryden and said that he's really the music of this church. He mentioned that T.L. Osborne came to this church. He talked about how this church was started. And I encourage you to come and hear it tonight. But you can hear the fervency of prayer. Oh God, help us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.